Back in the summer of 1947, a fellow by the name of Kenneth Arnold spotted some UFOs while he was flying his little plane. And what has happened, though, was before that, you're convinced the Nazis had information about flying saucers years before that, aren't you?
Well, it's not just my belief, George. It's a historic fact that when the Allies overran some of the secret German research facilities, they found schematics and drawings of flying saucers on the drawing board. We're working on them. In fact, yeah. The only real controversy has been, did they ever actually get something that was operational? And that was kind of iffy for a while, but in studying that at some length, I'm pretty convinced that, yes, they did. And I think that was part of the technology transfer that took place after the war. And when I say technology transfer, of course, and you, I know, have, but those who have read my book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, understand that towards the end of the war, Germany had developed a lot of outstanding technological breakthroughs. They had the first operational jet fighter. They had night vision. They had TV-guided missiles.
We'd be speaking German here in this country if Germany had gotten the atomic bomb before we did.
Well, in my book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, I present the argument that they did. But here was the problem, George. By the time they had one ready to go, it was already pushing into 1945, and the war basically was already lost for them, okay?
Yeah.
Now, they had two problems. One, they had the bomb, but they didn't really have a reliable delivery system. The V-2 rockets and even the A-10 they were working on, their guidance system was they aimed at the target and tried to calculate the fuel so it'd run out over the target and drop down.
Well, in some cases, it became the target after it landed.
Right.
You know?
Right. So they had that problem. They were developing a huge base in Norway, which they held on to right to the bitter end, even though there was no strategic reason to hold Norway. And at that base, they had 40 of these big, huge six-engine bombers that were fully capable of reaching New York. In fact, the crews there, when they were taken into captivity, said that they were working on a mission to New York. And there are even plans, I have seen the plans for a nuclear bomb blast radius on the island of Manhattan. So they flew one of these six-engine bombers to within 26 miles of New York and photographed the skyline. That's how close they were. But they weren't quite ready. The base wasn't ready. They just didn't have a reliable delivery system. And the second thing, and think about this, George, if, say, in January, February of 1945, Germany had delivered an atomic bomb and dropped it on Manhattan, and that would have been horrendous. But would we have stopped the war? Would we have sued for peace? I don't think so. I think all that would have done was just assure that we would have not left one stone standing in Germany.
We would have dropped some ourselves.
Oh, we would have obliterated the place, okay?
Yes.
And nobody wanted that. So they opted instead to make a deal, and they swapped us some of this technology in exchange for immunity. And that's why that, of course, gave rise to Project Paperclip, where we brought thousands of these unreconstructed Nazis into the United States and rolled them into our military-industrial complex with the argument to the people over here that were in the know. Of course, the public knew nothing about this, but the people, high-ranking military people in the Army, Navy, the Air Force, they were told this was necessary because we had to have that knowledge in order to meet the Russians.
Exactly. And of course, it was, I think, the Project Paperclip was the onset of us forming NASA in getting those German scientists, including Wernher von Braun included.
Yeah, who was one of the most highly decorated Nazis of them all. And but they were all whitewashed. Their backgrounds were whitewashed by John J. McCloy. And this is amazing because prior to the war, John J. McCloy had been the CEO of City National Bank, which is now Citicorp, and was the largest lender of money to Nazi Germany. So he was definitely on their side. And after the war, he gets named as High Commissioner of Germany, and he's the one that got them all over here. And then his protege, Alan Dulles, had been a lawyer representing the Nazi Schroeder Bank, and he was a big OSS, you know, intelligence guy during the war. And then he comes over here and becomes head of the CIA, and he helps expunge their records of their Nazi backgrounds.
And he hated Kennedy, didn't he?
Well, that's another thing. If you stop and think about it, both McCloy and Dulles sat on the Warren Commission to decide what happened to Kennedy.
Yeah, and they hated Kennedy.
And they hated him. Yeah, they saw him as a big threat to the plans for the new order. And so it's just the whole story is amazing. What I say, George, is what you don't know can hurt you.
That's right.
No, contrary to the old adage.
Now, this technology that the Nazis possessed, this flying saucer technology, was it technology they created because they were so advanced? Or did they have a captured craft and they reverse engineered it?
That is a very interesting question, and I've tracked that for a number of years, and I've heard various rumors that they had captured a flying saucer kind of like a la Roswell in Poland, in Czechoslovakia, in North Africa, and yet every time I tried to track those stories, it never really panned out. There's really never been any real proof that they ever captured some hardware somewhere. So I am now of the opinion that they got it through other means, and that other means comes down to what we now know and what you've had various people on talking about, remote viewing, okay, psychic stuff. Now, you go back all the way to the end of World War One, and through the 20s and into the 30s, the spiritualism was what they called it then, and they would have seances, you know, try to contact the dead.
Deep into the occult, weren't they?
Deep into the occult, and the top Nazis were right there with all that. In fact, this will blow you away. I was talking to the trainer of the U.S. Army's remote viewers, and he said at one point there was a meeting after all this, you know, came public and everybody was talking about remote viewing and the Iron Curtain fell, communism collapsed.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had a meeting with their Russian counterparts. They were called extra sensors. And he was told that they, you know, our remote viewing program got started as a response to the Russian psychic research programs, right? So he said they got started because of these Nazi scientists that came over and were talking about their study of psychic phenomena. And the Russians took them seriously and continued the Nazi experimentation and resulted in their extrasensors. Then we, Johnny Come Lately, said, well, gee, if the Russians, Soviets are doing it, we got to do it. So we started studying remote viewing and made it work and then created the Army's Grill Flame remote viewing unit. But the Nazi scientists had been operating under the code name Magic, M-A-J-I-K.
Uh-huh.
Now, does that ring a bell with
it
you,
sure
George?
Does. I keep whenever I hear that, I think of Stanton Friedman.
Exactly. So all of a sudden, see, the top guys who are concerned with our high cutting-edge technology to include UFOs started off as Magic 12, and then they changed it to Majestic 12, and most people simply know it as MJ 12.